Hello, this is Mike Valley, professor of philosophy on the mainland here in Puna, Hawaii, talking to Steve Bollert. Steve Bollert is the author of a new book called Universalist Radhakrishnaism, and we're here today to talk to him about practice. Steve, could you tell us a little bit about your book and where people could find it?
It's available at Amazon.com. or any other worldwide Amazon or online retailers throughout the world, as well as available through local bookstores. And that's Universalist Radhakrishnaism, a spirituality of liberty, truth, and love.
Now, Steve, when people look into paths that have an Eastern type of flavor, they often wonder, what kind of practice does it involve? Some of them, for instance, involve things like meditation. Some ask for or require or suggest chanting or things like dietary restrictions, or, you know, even if you join a different kind of religion, they might say, you know, church attendance and a variety of other things. When we talk about your system, Universalist Radhakrishnaism, what kind of practices do you personally find essential to help the person get closer to your picture of divinity, get closer to the divine?
Well, first of all, this is a devotional path, and our main object of devotion is the divine couple Radhakrishna. Radhakrishna are names of the divine that come from India, the Vedic tradition there. But I've sort of redefined the whole tradition and made it much more compatible with the Western lifestyle. It really is not a religion. It's a very individualistic path of learning to always be conscious of Radhakrishna in your life and devoting everything that you do to pleasing them and living a life of devotion and self-surrender to Radhakrishna and being always conscious of them. Christians call it practicing the presence of God. And I do this oftentimes throughout the day. I have the mantra Om in my mind as kind of a background sound in which I'm always absorbed in that sound which symbolizes Radhakrishna. And practicing that presence, trying to be of service. My service is primarily writing and publishing and teaching and things of that nature. Yet, this is not an ascetic religion, and it's not a renunciate religion. So things like taking care of myself and my home and doing the things I need to do in order to be healthy and well-rounded and a member of the community that I live in are all part of my devotion to Radhakrishna. This is not a dualistic approach to the divine where I separate material and spiritual things in my life. It's all spiritual. And that's the trick of Universalist Radhakrishnaism, that it kind of helps us to see what's already there, that everything is spiritual at its highest nature, but because we see it through dualistic vision with material eyes, it looks material to us. But as soon as we shine that light of consciousness that things are really divine and goddesses within everything, and everything is goddesses' energy, then everything we do in life is spiritual. So for me, writing and teaching, as I say, are my main spiritual practices. But then there is a higher form of practice also, which as one develops the initial devotion to Radha Krishna. The type of practices I teach entail conceiving of oneself as an associate of Radha and Krishna in their transcendental spiritual world of Braj, and being an intimate associate of theirs. Now, this is a form of visualization or meditation, and there are also mantras I teach right in the book that people can chant to them and help to develop that devotion. And then as you progress in that, beginning to visualize yourself engaged in activities with them, and I provide a sample of what a typical day there might be like. And then you can think, well, how would I like to see things in the next life? Because I'm really not so optimistic about that I'm going to be seeing all these wonderful visions in this life and be there in this life like the founder of this tradition did 500 years ago. He was an exception, Krishna Chaitanya. But for most of us, we're visualizing how we want the next life to be. How do we want to spend eternity? And this really requires no external practices. You don't have to shave your head or become vegetarian or quit your job or anything like that, unless you have some really abhorrent job. But, you know, you can live a normal life and be married or single or whatever you want to do, and just do it in a different consciousness.
You bring up an interesting point. Many times when people are interested in paths that have any kind of roots in India, they feel an obligation somehow to change their names or dress differently or become Indiaphiles or somehow become experts on India. Is that required to follow your path?
Not at all. You know, I immersed myself in the Indian tradition and lifestyle very thoroughly. For 3 years I lived in India as a renunciate, following the traditional ways. And that's where I learned these things from my spiritual teacher, Lalita Prasad Thakur. And I became very Indianized. I was about as Indianized as an American can get, except for being fluent in the languages and things. But when I returned to the West, according to my teacher's instructions, I discarded all that Indian garb and monastic-type lifestyle and became a regular American citizen again and live a quite Western lifestyle. I've even served as a Midwestern pastor in Christian churches for 11 years.
And, you know, today, these days, a lot of people are pretty skeptical about God's existence. We have a lot of books written on this subject. A lot of people out there are pretty secular and non-committal, at the least, about God's existence. Are there any benefits for even a secular person to use your visualization techniques? Are there any kind of benefits a person like that could enjoy from these kinds of imaginative pictures or practices?
Yes, because so many secular people, like myself, when I first started out on the spiritual path, feel a great sense of alienation and isolation and yearning for some higher purpose and meaning in life. And this can give it to a person. And rather than asking people to believe in some distant deity, I say it's all within you. All the gods and goddesses, heavens and hells, are right within you. And you just have to look within. If you want to consider Radha Krishna to be the archetypal loving couple, and that is the best way to think of goddess, because goddess is love. So Radha Krishna personify that divine ideal of love, so we can become more loving in our lives. And by seeing goddess as both male and female, that gives more gender equity in this life also in how we treat others. And if we see them as being loving to each other and to all their friends and relatives and everything, that might help us to be more friendly and loving and work cooperatively to make this world a better place, because nature is very dear to Radha Krishna also, and they're often seen in nature and identified with nature.
Well, thank you, Steve, for talking with us. Could you tell us a little bit more about where to find more information about Universalist Radha Krishnaism on the web?
Sure. Go to my website, www.radhakrishnaism.org.
Thank you, Steve Bullard, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thanks, Mike.